Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The state chapter of the American Institute of Architects, or AIA, has developed a blog to help further the idea that design matters in every South Dakota community. Blueprint South Dakota provides a forum for public conversations with citizens, city planners, developers, and much more. The hope is to create vibrant, prosperous, and more effective places to live, work, and play in the state. Allison Dvorak is an architect with Avera, and Sienna Wegehop is an architect with Pitts Corporation in Mitchell, and they are both joining us today inside the Kirby Family Studio at SDPB's Sioux Falls Studio. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, let's start with the blog and the sort of the genesis of it. Whose idea was it, and how did it get launched? Allison.
Our communication committee for the AIA chapter has been trying to do a little bit of outreach, a little more outreach than we have. And so this kind of came up within the committee of how we could post about things that are issues that are within our communities that we can really take the reins and lead on and kind of share our stories of what we deal with as architects to develop our cities.
And that has resonated with architects. How? Tell me a little bit about how they have embraced it, because you've had a lot of people sort of contributing to the site.
Yeah, we've had about 14 different authors contribute to posts. Each month we've had a different member of AIA kind of curate and host that month and make sure that we have posts going out. And so we've had a lot of interest in both contributing content to the blog and also just an increase in subscribers and people reading the content. So that's been really exciting.
It seems likely that other architects and people who are really interested in this will engage with the blog. But what about just people trying to figure out what architecture is in South Dakota? Do you think there's a strong connection for people who are reaching out and potentially learning about what Reddit really even means?
Yeah, I think we're trying to put out a range of content from people who don't know what architects do every day. We have a series that we're doing every month called Architectural Working Conditions, which shows different firms and what they do, if it features their firm office or if they're on a site and what kind of plans they're drawing, details, and how things are put together. But that just kind of showcases like what life is daily for an architect.
All right. What is life daily like for an architect? Sienna, tell us a little bit about the full range of what's an average day like for you?
Yeah, I mean, we really do a variety of things. You know, obviously we do design buildings in different kind of aspects of, you know, healthcare or schools or office buildings, but also just thinking about like city planning and more of the urban scale of designing buildings, designing communities, pedestrian crosswalks, all sorts of different aspects really come into the design and, just thinking about the site and all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm.
And you're doing this in a particular cultural context, being from South Dakota, living in South Dakota. Let's explore that a little bit. Are there things in South Dakota that sort of say, you know, if you were talking to an architect from Florida or from Ohio who is moving here, how would you sit down and say, this is what architecture is like here?
Right. There's, I think there's more of a focus on the designed environment now as we're moving forward. There's a lot of context with the site. Materials from South Dakota are very important to be incorporated into quartzite here in Sioux Falls and in the hills. They also have different climate changes that we need to be taking care of, different ways that we build our walls construction-wise for humidity and climate and so things like that we're taking into account just in our local climate and our local environment. So that's kind of some of the stuff we also focus on is a little bit more of the science side of how we put our buildings together and what we use to do that.
Let's talk about those local materials because, you know, quartzite is very appealing to a lot of people who recognize it and sort of feel like it's who we are and what we're from, but it can't be the most, I don't know, insulated material or, you know, it's not always a practical. How do you look at local materials so that when people come to a town, they say, I'm in a place and it's not just the same place that I could find anywhere in any community. They all look the same. It's a Target and it's a, you know, a what have you. Any thoughts on kind of having a voice in a place that is unique and special?
I think just me personally, part of that comes from the people that are in the spaces that are occupying it. They know what they can use and what is available and what they can, how they can shape their space so that they can be a part of it. Wall Drug is a great example of that. That is what it is because of the people that shaped it to be what it is today.
So elaborate on that. Do they make design decisions? What
because with of the how way they yeah. use the with the way mm-hmm. they use the shape or the space, and then how like the materials that they chose for that space is a little bit, you know, it's more interesting than just like a metal shed, and sure. and so they made those conscious decisions to do that, which makes that place special.
Yeah. What are some of the hot topics in architecture today? You mentioned, you know, a different climate, and that made mm-hmm. me think about a changing climate and really about sustainability. Is that something that's on a lot of people's minds as far as affordability and, you know, practical development costs, but then also this notion of, you know, are we building something that lasts, you know, a century? Are we building something that gets abandoned? Like, I'm kind of harping on the chain store in my neighborhood that, you know, closed and left, and that stupid, ugly building is mm-hmm. just stuck there with a stupid, ugly parking lot, and it's slowly deteriorating, and that seems like a poor architecture choice to me.
Yeah, I think one of the most sustainable things we can do as architects is design facilities and design buildings that can stand the test of time and use quality materials and quality design and flexible design, because we don't know what the future holds. And the more that we can design some of these spaces to adapt and to be flexible for future uses that we don't even know yet, I mean, that's one of the most sustainable things we can do. We also have, you know, Passive House is a kind of a new development that we've been working on in the state. There's Passive House projects that are happening and have been completed. And so that's really exciting to see as well.
What's Passive House? I don't understand.
It's a different type of sustainable design that takes into account the envelope of the building as well as the mechanical and electrical systems, kind of minimizing those by super insulating the envelope and making sure that there's no leakage in the envelope to be able to be more energy efficient. So it brings the level of energy use way down.
Yeah.
And it's very specific on how that building needs to be designed, and it's also... They just finished this, SDSU just finished this, the house in Brookings, and then there's Copper Pass on the south side of Sioux Falls. That's a multifamily apartment complex that's Passive House certified. So hopefully that in the future will use way less energy and be more affordable for people to live in.
All right, so let's talk about that technology, because we're also looking at 5G in Sioux Falls, in Madison, across the state. You know, as people talk about internet coverage and broadband coverage throughout the state, how smart can our architecture be? How does that kind of technological future impact design?
You know, I think especially like with Passive House and with some of these environmental concerns, for example, Passive House has a tracking software where they're monitoring each of the apartments and their individual energy usage. And so, and they have that displayed in the lobby so that you can see kind of where your apartment matches up with some of the ones around you. And so just tapping into that technology and some of those on-demand information centers, you know, that can really help in that aspect.
Yeah. So how fast is the field changing in that regard? Materials and expectations, how quickly are they shifting?
Incredibly fast.
Yeah.
I think architecture is a profession. I always tell people that if I wanted to feel like I didn't know anything, this is definitely the field I needed to go
right.
into, because I think I have it under control, and then a new product comes out and it completely changes the way that you're looking at how things go together or where things need to be in your building envelope. Do you put a weather barrier in a certain place so it doesn't create mold in your walls and kind of like that, just trying to keep ahead of all the different trends that are coming out and all the different technologies you can use to design.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. I have architects as the guest today talking about a new blog, Blueprint South Dakota. Allison Dvorak, I'm sorry,
no
Dvorak
problem.
Is with us from Avera Health, and Sienna Wegehop is with us from Pitts Corporation in Mitchell. And what's the website? How do people get to it? You can subscribe.
Yep, it's Blueprint South Dakota. So
Blueprint South Dakota.
That came from a campaign that the National AIA is working on, which is Blueprint for Better, which is focusing on communicating architects with leaders of the community to start talking about how the cities and communities need to be designed and what we can do to help in that way.
So a civic engagement kind of component. Tell us about that and what the role is of architects in being part of that broader conversation.
Yeah, I think, the blog allows us to just have a platform to really get some of that information out and to start having a voice in those discussions. It allows us to just have a voice at the table and engage with, city leaders, city planners, developers, property owners, and any citizens that have any interest in that. So,
National Architecture Week coming up April 21st. It kicks off.
Some
events or some focuses, areas of focus.
Yep. Next week there's a few areas of focus, which I really think apply to South Dakota, which is awesome. Monday is Earth Day, of course, sustainability and resilience. And we talked about that a little bit, about how we can plan our buildings for 50 years rather than 20 years or 10 years or even 5. Tuesday is affordable housing. And we know that that's an issue that we've been dealing with in South Dakota, making housing affordable for people. Civic engagement, equity, diversity, inclusion, and architecture and technology.
Let's talk a little bit about inclusion and as female architects, you at some point came into this world and decided this was something that you wanted to do. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you got into architecture.
My mom used to teach art, and so growing up, I've always had art be a part of my life. I really like the mix that architecture has, where it has art and design, but it also has these practical aspects where you have to have a building work for people and you have to have spaces that function well. And so kind of the marriage of design and art, and then with that, those functional aspects, that is what really drew me into architecture and got me on this path.
Allison, and your path was?
I saw a really cool building in the third grade and said I wanted to go to school there. So that was the actual architecture building. So it ended up well for me, I guess. So it went well. And then getting into architecture was a completely different change for what I thought architects actually did. Yeah. So learning what the process was and what design could actually do for the communities was really what really kept me in the architectural field.
What did you think that they did that they didn't do?
It was mostly Brady Bunch. The dad from the Brady Bunch was an architect, so I thought I could work from home and then take care of the kids and then just draw sometimes. But now it's every day and it's a
little
life obsession.
Up in
yes,
the corner
exactly.
Of your house. Okay, yes, I get it.
Absolutely.
All right, Legos and sort of things. But it's a lot more.
Yes.
It's a lot more what? Math? A lot more science? A lot more?
It's a lot more attention to detail. Just making sure things are, we're coordinating mechanical, electrical, structural, and making sure every piece of it works together for the function of what the client wants. So it's being able to oversee and put everything together in sort of this puzzle piece that's really kind of cool for me.
Tell us a little bit about education in South Dakota. You're from North Dakota and Sienna's from South Dakota. How is the education changed in South Dakota to bring more people into architecture, into the field?
Yeah, that's really exciting. SDSU now has an architecture program. They are developed there, they are accredited, and I went to undergrad at SDSU, and so that has really started to play a role in South Dakota, where we have students that are studying architecture up in Brookings at SDSU. They're able to talk with architects that work all around the state and see what, have internship opportunities, see what the day in the life of an architect is really like. So that's really exciting, and just having that educational component in South Dakota.
What kind of students, for students in high school and middle school, who do you want?
I think everyone, anyone who's interested in the designed environment. I think we're doing more reach out to high schoolers and middle schoolers. We're also trying to do a component for the blog where we're seeing what the level of understanding for architecture is from kindergartners to middle school to high school to retired to professionals that are working today. So,
and when you talk about inclusion, diversity in a field, what difference does that make? How do you see, different people from different backgrounds expressing? I mean, is it an expressive profession where you really get to have a voice in the way you design things? what difference does inclusion make other than it's just the right thing to do? How do you see, how are our communities different if more people with different backgrounds are involved in planning them and designing them?
Yeah, I think, you know, architecture is a field that pulls from so many different aspects. I mean, you've got to consider cultural, like socioeconomic, you've got to consider the community that you're building in, whether it's rural or urban. And so having diversity and having those different viewpoints is just, it's so important. And it's really crucial to the success of the built environment and the buildings that we use day to day. And so, yeah, I mean, it's definitely important. And it really provides another level to design when you can include different mindsets and different kind of, you know, aspects of the built environment.
Any final thoughts before we let you go? New blog, Building South Dakota, celebrating South Dakota's architects.
Yep. So come look at the website and subscribe. We have blog posts that go out about twice weekly. So we're putting content out there as fast as we can make it.
All right. Sienna and Allison, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you.